Hey there, and welcome to the Dynamics Hot Dish Podcast, serving up stories and knowledge on Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform. This is what's hot in Dynamics. You're now joining Merlin Schweiger, Liz McGlennon, and Ashley Steiner.
Yeah, it's as exciting as you just made it sound, Merlin.
That's why we're avoiding it.
Recording.
We've been recording for the last hour.
I know, but I thought that was like the start of it.
I know it was until Merlin ruined it. Ashley, you've been working on data stuff at work, right?
Yeah, I mean, you make it sound so much more exciting than it's been.
Was that exciting? I didn't think that sounded exciting at all.
But like, yeah, so I've turned on some duplicate detection rules. We had nothing turned on in our system.
How long have you been on the system with no dedupe rules?
2017. So the thing is that people can create duplicate accounts for some of our companies. And since we have like 6-7 companies using the same system, like it's hard to, so I'm doing a lot of analysis now, like, okay, what would work in most scenarios and things like that. And I know they could still create it. So it's more about the education part. So I'm starting with contacts though.
So they could create duplicate accounts, but like, why wouldn't you have it running on other tables?
Well, so that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Like I'm finally getting around, like, I feel like we have this conversation all the time where you guys are like, oh, just do this. And I'm like, yeah, cool. I have a list. And I like, then finally get to stuff as a fractional admin. And so now I'm getting to cleaning up the data. And so yeah, I'm just running dedupe rules and then literally one by one manually merging things that can be merged. The problem though, is because we have multiple accounts, we have like 6 of the same account and one, the same contact on each of those records. So then you have to go like merge the accounts that you can to then merge the contact. So it's
a multi-step process.
It's super, super fun.
How,
is how I spend my Sundays, by the way. I spend my Sundays watching baseball now. Now that baseball started, at least it'll get a little more exciting.
That sounds boring. Those are like 2 of my least favorite things. It's like baseball and merging records, like deduping.
It's like mindless work though, right? Like 7 hours goes by real quick if you're just like merging and watching baseball. It's awesome.
So are you merging them as the rule flags it, or are you just kind of seeing like spotting them yourselves, or have you actually like ran a dedupe job and you're actively going through that list of results?
Yep. So I created the rule and I'm, like I said, just starting with contacts, and then I run a job, and then based on like the result it spits out, I actually go search. I don't use like the matching that's in the job, which I think works really well. You can do it, but because our system is terrible, our data is terrible, I actually go search for that contact to see if like somebody misspelled the name or something like that. So I can,
so
like,
you're doing a much more thorough check than just what it's showing you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's taking longer, but it'll also get, you know, to a better end result. So
have you thought about like, if there's a way to automate it at all?
There's not in Dynamics, but there are AISV tools that can. The one that I know the most about is Data A. I know we had Matt Baird on recently, and he had talked about, and he's from Data 8, I guess I should say. So he works for Data 8. He is the lead developer and has built a lot of their stuff. So ISV tools, I know, can do a lot of that automatically where they'll run the job. And then again, you'll probably want to like do it manually a few times just to make sure that your rule is good and does pull things correctly. And then from there, you know, you can start to trust it to do those merges automatically. So
are you just deduping on contacts right now then?
Yeah, right now. And then merging accounts as they come up.
Yeah. What I'm curious, like, what are you matching on? Because I feel like that's always a conversation for an implementation, is like, what should we actually match on?
So because I know our data is this terrible, I'm starting with like first and last name match. And they work at the same company, because we have like sometimes on the same company record, there are like up to 6 of the same contact, because people just kept like creating it from Outlook, like not looking to see if it's already in there. They'll just, and because there's no dedupe rules turned on, it just automatically, like we have terrible data, or like over time we've merged accounts, but we didn't go in to see if like to merge the contacts after the fact. So I'm literally starting with such a basic, terrible, generic rule And then once I get that cleared up, and I'm doing it in batches, like I do one company and then I add in more company, you know what I mean? So like, cause we have, I think 27 business units. So I'm like doing it by business unit and growing it over time. And then I'll go in with like matching email addresses. So regardless of what company they're at, as long as they have the same email, and then I haven't thought any further than that, but.
So you are looking for email too?
I would not right now, but okay. That'll be like the next phase when I get done with just the same contacts at companies, because not all of them have emails on them. Email is not a required field for us.
Yeah.
So I'd say probably less than half of our contacts actually have emails.
You must not be doing a lot of email marketing then.
We don't. So our email marketing tool is actually outside of Dynamics. And so like we'll export the contacts and then they'll manually go into the spreadsheet and add emails that they have rather than adding them into Dynamics before we export, because it's easier.
Like a lot of work.
Well, and I mean, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, right? Sometimes they live with just the data they have.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like nobody goes in and updates it. Some sales reps are really good about it. Other ones are not. So
what do we feel like in general? I know we were talking about like your work situation actually, but like in general, what's common for people to kind of match on for accounts and contacts? What do you guys think? Or does it completely depend on the business?
I think it completely depends on the business because everyone's different, right? B2B is going to be different than B2C, right? So that I think has a lot to do with it. But also just depending on if you have any sort of structure on how data is entered, which I think if you're probably running these dedupe rules and like doing jobs, you probably don't have a data structure. But I always think of like, you know, adding a or the in front of the name, right? Like the Microsoft out of the box rules are never going to catch that because it's either an exact match or it's like the first whatever characters, things like that. And so that's, I think, the thing that kills me the most about the out of the box, like duplicate detection in Dynamics is there's no fuzzy matching at all.
And the fields you typically want to dedupe on are text fields. And so you have that, just that unpredictability and how it was entered.
Yeah. So for accounts though, I would focus on the account name. And again, I only do like the first so many characters. And then I use like location, like city, state, zip code.
Address.
Yeah. Some sort of address identifier, because the phone number again can be entered differently, you know, that kind of thing. So I usually, I mean, every company I've ever worked at, I think it's been location, some sort of address information.
If you have like some sort of account ID, like I think that's always like, that's probably unique if it's coming from like your ERP or you're auto generating a unique number. Like I think that's helpful, but it would never help with like a lead or a prospect concept.
Or if you're bringing in data from like Hoover's, like I know they assign like record numbers and stuff, so that could be helpful, but you know, it all depends on where your data, like our data, 100% of our data, our prospect data is manually entered by salespeople. Now our customers, you know, sync over from our ERP system. And we do like, if we have a customer with the same customer number, we do merge those get done more quickly. But yeah, when you rely on salespeople for your data, it's going to be terrible.
Are you going to let them merge? Like, do they have permissions to? No. So you're not expecting that your end users will actually be helping with the merge
process. They report things. So like we have a CRM admin queue where they can email in and say, hey, can you merge these records? Like I've noticed they're duplicates. But because we have the 27 business units, like they could see a record that's outside of their business unit and they wouldn't be able to merge it anyways. So we've actually just, you know, escalated, like just come to us and we'll merge it for you. And
that makes sense in your situation. Yeah.
It's a very unique situation. Like every other company I've worked at, we've let salespeople merge, you know, anybody merge, right?
That's
like
what I was going to ask.
Records, go ahead and merge it, you know, but then then also explain the fallout from it. Like, okay, if you merge two things together and they shouldn't have been, like all of that data is now on one record.
There's not really an undo option. Like you can see the inactive record and that it was merged and it links to the new record, but like there's not a way to like easily undo what you just did.
And you have no idea what like activities or things like or contacts were on that previous one. So
well, and it depends on like the cascading too. Like it's they probably are going to bring over all the child records to that new parent record. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've always done a lot of education on merging at places where we did actually let them merge.
I've been on a lot of projects where the client is very hesitant to let the typical end user or salesperson, especially when it comes to sales teams, like merge, because there's like a lack of trust that they're going to understand like the ramifications mm-hmm. and like do it properly. But I feel like I always push for it and like just say there needs to be a lot of training and communication around this, because I do feel like if you empower them to keep their data clean, like you will have better data quality in general, yep. which is obviously a good thing. But I know that I always feel like there's a lot of hesitation. Like it feels like there's risk in letting them do that.
Well, I always say like the first time they do it wrong, like it won't happen again. You know what I mean? Like if they're not sure, they'll ask before they do it, because yeah. once they do it incorrect the first time, they're not going to do it again.
That's true.
Because they see the ramifications of, you know, because if it's their data and now it got all merged, that's terrible. So
Merlin, I feel like I'm monopolizing all the questions. Do you have anything?
When I'm monopolizing all the, yeah. the discussion.
No, it's fine. I don't need to jump in. Both obviously have good questions and good answers. I guess I'm curious more on like the tools and automation front. Like everybody, every customer that I've ever worked with always has like some issue with data, and they always want their data to be clean. And I feel like it's always kind of this impossible task.
It's never going to be perfect and it's never going to be done. Like you just have yeah. to have some sort of process or plan to like maintain it or improve it. But like, it's never in a done state in my mind.
Probably true.
I could be wrong, and I am probably wrong, so I'm gonna really regret like even saying anything, but I feel like there's something with like data flows or Power Automate or something where you can do merging, and I'm gonna probably totally eat my words on this one, but I feel like there's something where you, like you can pull it out, clean it up, and put it back in.
I mean, you could. I'm pretty sure that the merge operation is an available operation, so you can mm-hmm. like you can do that in a flow. But then I guess you have to kind of write all of your own rules.
Logic.
I think one of the things that I was thinking about when you were discussing how like the out of the box rules don't have any fuzzy matching and you can't do all of these things. I was actually thinking about, well, if you had or wanted to use customer insights for something else, you could also use customer insights sort of as a deduplication mm-hmm. tool, even within the same data source. I did work with a customer once that like that was their use case. It's like, well, we've got contacts, but we don't know like how many of them are duplicated. Can we just run this through customer insights and have it figure out with its rules and matching? And I think you could do that, come up with customer profiles. And once you've got the profiles defined, then you could leverage Power Automate to kind of circle back around and be like, okay, like let's keep this one based on these criteria and let's merge all these other ones into it.
And maybe that's what I was thinking of. Like maybe I've heard you talk about that before, Merlin. Because like I remember it was some sort of thing in the Power Platform Dynamics space that you could potentially do that with. So maybe I'm gonna just say that's what I was thinking of because it makes me sound smarter.
Yeah, let's go with it.
What other ISVs are out there? I feel like my ISV knowledge is kind of stale these days. Like what other tools are there that would help with automating it?
I'll say Data8's the one I'm the most familiar with. So I don't want to like just keep saying them over and over.
You can also, well, you did also mention Hoovers though. And I feel like that can help. Like it helps from the cleaning the data. Like if you can validate the data and get it, like now I know this is correct. And then at least in the case of Hoovers, like you add the DUNS number to it. Well, now you've got a unique identifier and it's easy to keep that as a single record.
Well, having more data helps. Like we were just talking about how Ashley's missing half her email addresses. So I think having more like critical data entered into the system helps, and then like standardizing the way that that's formatted or like the kind of
right.
preliminary steps to actually having the out of the box dedup rules be effective.
Right. Like if you have an email address for everybody, which I guess ideally you should, because how are you going to communicate with them? Probably via email. If you've got that email address, that's a pretty good unique identifier. So mm-hmm. you could just use that, and then you don't have to worry about if somebody put in Jim or James or Jimmy or JR or something else. Like just go by the email address.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for accounts, then maybe you could use a website or potentially a phone number if you're using phone number formatting.
Yeah, but phone number formatting, like if you do the masking, like the control, the custom control ruins it for the mobile app. Yeah. So frustrating.
I know.
They've added the phone. They've added like a little icon though in the mobile app that you can touch, like the if you don't touch the number, but if you touch the little phone icon, it does still dial with the masking.
Oh, they fixed it or improved it. Yeah.
I'd say they found a
the workaround. That, but if you can still like click to dial, like that's an improvement. Okay.
It is.
Good to know. So when did that change?
I don't know. Cause I turned on masking in our system because our data was just terrible. And then we had one salesperson be like, no, I can't click to dial. And then like a month later, he's like, oh, just kidding. I can now. So it was like in that time frame, it was sometime last year.
Yeah, I was gonna say I definitely has been like less than an update a year.
Or yeah. So you asked about ISVs and like I immediately like just hit the Google just to like see what would come up. But and I'll put this in the show notes, but Microsoft Dynamics World actually has like an ISV and partner directory where you can like put in what like which Microsoft software you're working with and then like what your business needs are. So like if you could just go to data management and there's all sorts of data like categories like archiving integration. I mean, it shows you the ones, at least the ones that they have in their directory. And I'm sure people have to pay to be in there, but at least it's the starting point.
Yeah.
So to your point, Liz, like I think that's a good place. Like if our knowledge isn't and like some of them I know and some of them I don't, like InsideView is still around, which shout out to InsideView because that was like all the talk 6 years ago and we all like forgot to mention
11, 12 years ago. I'm glad they're still around.
Yeah.
That's kind of true.
There's and then Trillium. Relevant. Yeah.
Trillium's like Trillium has been around a while.
Trillium's kind of expensive.
It is definitely like the enterprise level class, option out there. Mm-hmm. But I think it does a lot, for the, obviously the more you pay, the more you get usually.
Yeah. I know Merlin, when we were at PowerMGX, there was like a power pack that did automatic deduping. Is that like, did that work? And is that still around?
It did. That was the, I think it was Power Merge. And it actually would like run the process and then merge the records.
Okay.
The downside was that it wasn't particularly flexible on the rules that you could use. So I think as an example for contacts, it was like you could, there were checkboxes and you could choose like first name, last name, like email address, and I don't know, something else. And you just check the boxes for the ones that you wanted it to look at. But if you had a different field that you wanted it to look at, like not an option, and it would merge into whatever the most recently created record was.
Oh, so not a ton of control.
So very limited control, but if you were fine with those rules, then it was a like, click it and forget it. Like
save a lot of time.
Come back 8 hours later and it's done a lot of merging for you. So
interesting.
I feel like pros and cons there.
I think that every data ISV tool or add-on tool is going to have pros and cons, right? So you've got to find out what your goal and objective is with your data and then find the one that's going to meet that.
That's the best fit.
Like if it's just quality where you want to find the duplicates and merge them, maybe you can get something a little more simple. But if you want to actually do something with the data, like add in, addresses for, the formatting, like it all be the same, or you want to add in some sort of, or you want to fill gaps of data, things like that, what tool you use is going to be different.
It's true. Although I guess I will say that the more that you add to the data, I think the duplicate detection process becomes easier. Right.
Well, I know some of the tools now you can even integrate, like, when you were on a website and you start to type in your address, like I think of like UPS. Right. And it like autofills. There are ISVs that do that in Dynamics, right? Mm-hmm. So as your salespeople are starting to type in an address, what a great time saver for them. They don't have to go to like four separate fields to add in the address that just starts to populate automatically. And then it one keeps your data accurate. It's less time, entry time for the salespeople, but then it also makes it easier to find those duplicates, like you said, Merlin.
Yeah.
So I think just finding the right need that you have.
That's a great point, Ashley, that it's not just like, oh, we need better data quality so we can manage our duplicates, but it's actually making the end user's life and process easier too. And so there's multiple benefits from it. It's not just the data quality benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially if that kind of data, I mean, I can't think of a situation where like the address and location is not important. I would love to see what kind of company where they're like, oh, we don't care where they are. Like, we don't need that info. Like, that is vital information, I feel like, to have on an account record as you're putting over a lead or whatever, however you start it in your system. So whatever you can do to make that easy and accurate,
yeah, you know,
is good.
So Ashley, go ahead, Merlin.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to ask, I'm going back to out of the box tools. I haven't run a dedupe job in ages. Have they improved it at all? Or is it the same as it's always been?
It's the same as it's always been. I actually feel like it's gotten worse. Because it's been a long, okay, no. I say this, oh my gosh, I feel terrible now.
How could it be worse?
Okay, so I guess it's been a really long time since I've used the out of the box. Did you say rules or jobs? You said jobs, right?
Yeah, I was talking about the both, but I know the rules haven't changed with the job.
No, so the job, so when you run it now, like, and it provides you the results. So the results come up in like 20 minutes, which I was actually kind of surprised it was not like
20 minutes. Well, that would depend on your data set though, and how much data it's
processing. Our contacts is like, so I had to narrow it down because it can't process more than 12,000 duplicates. So if it comes back with more than 12,000 duplicates, you have to narrow it down.
Okay.
So, and it takes like an hour or two to tell you that you have more than 12,000. So if you have less than 12,000 duplicates, not records, but actual duplicates, it will take, I saw it like 30 minutes max, and okay. We have a lot. Anyways, so when you open up the window to get the results, you can only like, it doesn't, where it shows you the list, right? So if you think of a grid view,
there's like a top and a bottom.
It's cut in half. So you can only see like 1.5 records. And I don't know if that's how it's always been or if,
sure.
It's, and I'll put a screenshot in the show notes to explain to people what I'm talking about, especially because you can't see my hand gestures if you're like just listening, but it's not there's a full grid, but it's only like half filled out. And then there's like a line and it just will not show you more. So you have to like scroll really far or like, you know what I mean? And get it like just perfect to like see what you're looking for. And then it only shows 12 per page.
And so is there a jump to page or a jump to the end? Cause they're you have to click next page. Yeah, you have to 100 click next times. Page.
So
where you left off.
Exactly. So what I do now is like, wherever I leave off, I just start a new rule. Like every time, like I'm like, okay, I'm going to spend like 2 hours today just merging, I just start a new job.
Okay.
Because then it'll like start me where because there's no way. Like no. I accidentally closed it and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I'm sitting here going to page 100.
They need a jump to like put in like how Adobe can like you can put it like go to this page number. Like they need that.
And so that's when I decided. And that's when I decided I was like, nope, I'm just gonna run this every time because it's 20 minutes. And then it'll like, you know, it'll pick up anything I've missed or whatever, and then start me off where I ended. Yeah, no, it's terrible.
Other thing that always drove me nuts, you'll have to tell me if this has changed, is like sometimes it'll flag a duplicate, but like you check it and you're like, this is not a true duplicate. Like it's for whatever reason, it matched for the rule, but like if you're matching a name, like how many like Bob Smiths are there out there in the world? And so you're like, no, this isn't a duplicate. And I want to ignore it. Like, I don't want it to flag again for this job, or I want it off the list. Mm-hmm. But like historically, there was never a way to do that.
So you can now skip inactive records. Like before the jobs automatically would check.
Well, that's part of the rule. Don't even get me started on how the out of the box
rules. Right, but in the rule, you can now ignore the inactive
records. You've always been able to do that. You've been able to do that since 4.0. They come set up wrong.
So I will tell you that I have not run into the problem that you are talking about now, where you know it's not a duplicate and you just want to like mark it. Yeah. I have, at least in the cleanup that I've done, and again, this is the first time I've used these out of the box rules in probably 7 years. I have not come across that problem yet.
Okay.
But now that you've said it, I'm going to knock on wood because like now that you've said it, it's going to happen.
Jinxed it for you. Yeah. But Ashley, inactive records, the out of the box rules come with that not checked. Like it's a little checkbox on the rule.
You have to make sure to check
it. You have to check it because when you merge, it becomes inactive. So you're going to keep flagging on things that you've already cleaned up.
It's terrible.
It should be checked out of the box or it just shouldn't even be an option. I don't know. Like, but you it should only default check to ignoring inactive records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then the other thing I never use that I wanted to hear your thoughts on are like case sensitive. Like unless it's like some sort of unique ID, like why would you ever use case sensitive?
it's absolutely case sensitive, and it drives me insane. Because even when you go to merge records, if like it'll flag it as a different, like, so let's say the email, right? Like you capitalize the D in, you know, Deanna, whatever, and then you lowercase the D in Deanna on the second one. If, and everything is correct except for those, that case, it still considers it two different data points, even though it's the exact same.
And
I don't understand it. Like, I don't know why.
Or how about the blank values? That. Like, if it's not a required field, like, why wouldn't you always ignore a blank value? Like, two empty fields is not a duplicate. Like, there's just no data there.
Right.
That's another setting that you have to, like, choose.
You have to actually physically, like, go out of your way to do it.
Right.
Like,
and if you know, miss it, it's like, again, you're going to get all these false positives on duplicate records. Merlin's laughing at us.
With that, I'd like to point out, I believe we are at time.
I feel like we could probably do another one just on the rules.
Like, I feel like, yeah.
Kind of sounds that way.
Pet peeves on the rules, our best practices.
Kind of sounds that way. Agree. Any parting thoughts, 30 seconds or less?
Yeah, I have one more thing on the rules, is that a lot of people don't know that you can make a rule that's looking at two different tables or two different entities. And I think that's, I use it a lot with the lead. So like before you convert the lead to like check if there's an account or contact that matches.
That's a good point.
Ashley, how about you?
Get an ISV. That's my only parting thought. And last thought is don't rely on the out of the box features. Get an ISV. They're there for a reason. And that's also why, in my opinion, Microsoft is not investing, is because there are great ISV options out there.
Yeah.
And they're not that expensive. Like compared to like
improve it, the dedup job, just a little bit, like the UI, like just a tiny bit.
Yeah. But I think that they're not, because it is such a great space and there are some awesome ISVs out there.
That's
so
true.
If there's a different solution, it's like dashboards and Power BI. We just talked about this. They're not going to do much with dashboards because Power BI is so awesome. So,
yeah. Or maybe they'll acquire an ISV and then bake it into the out.
I would love for that to happen, actually. Maybe.
That would be pretty cool.
Well, I'm going to second Ashley's point, get an ISV. On that note, we're done with data for today.
Thank you for listening to the Dynamics Hot Dish Podcast. For additional content and previous episodes, check out our website at dynamicshotdish.com, follow us on Twitter at dynamicshotdish, and subscribe to our podcast for notifications. Thanks. See you next time.